Hello, and welcome to Designer Discussions with Jason, Miriam, and Maria. Today, we are joined by our good friend, Jan Ruckers, who will be giving an overview of what happened at KBS 2024.
Welcome to the Designer Discussions podcast with
Jason,
Maria,
and Miriam. Tune in each week where we talk about marketing, PR, and business advice for design professionals.
Are you an interior designer facing the challenges of marketing your business? Are you struggling to find the time and looking for effective solutions?
You're not alone. Many interior designers and remodelers share these same pains, but there is a solution.
Welcome to the Designer Discussions Academy, where we understand your challenges and are here to help.
Our Academy offers a monthly focus on marketing, PR, and business development tailored for interior designers and remodelers.
Learn the most important marketing tactics from SEO to get press, social media, and even harnessing the power of AI.
Join us at the Designer Discussions Academy and take the first step towards transforming your interior design business.
Hi, Jason, Maria, and Miriam. Hopefully join us soon. I really wanted to talk to you about the trends that I saw at the show. I guess this is probably the third time we've done this podcast together after a KBS show. Yeah, so, you know, that's kind of cool. So I've got, one, two, three, four. I've got seven trends that I saw as I went around the show. And, some of them we've started seeing a few years ago, maybe at some of the other shows. But if you want, I can just kind of jump in and give you my recap of what I saw as the big trends from KBS 2024.
I'll say, let's get to it.
Okay. So the first one, which was really interesting, was what I'm calling cabinet lighting. So interior cabinet lighting. A few years ago, I started seeing the trend of lighting showing up like in the kick plate and, of course, under cabinet lighting and in a few places lighting up some channels. But this year, I really saw that the suppliers were going a big step forward by lighting up all of the insides of the cabinetry. And, I think this is great for living in place design, which, you know, is a big topic. And, you know, people want to be able to see what's inside their cabinets. And probably I would say the best booth for that was the Hafla booth. I had a really good tour there. And they had everything imaginable for interior cabinet lighting. And one thing that really stood out for me was a system that they've developed to be able to adjust your interior shelves and still have each individual shelf lit. And what they had done is they had routed out the shelf, installed the lighting system, and then on the inside of the cabinet box or carcass was another routed out area where a metal strip was applied that became the connection. So when you adjusted your shelves up and down, you know, once the shelves clicked in, you could light them up. So I thought that was really cool. They also showed it within that booth was the ability to change the temperature control of the light. And I know, Maria, you're big, you know, into this with your clients and getting the right light temperature. So it was great. You know, right in the display, they could show designers how they could change the cool to warm lights, you know, to get the different Kelvins. That was really nice for like in the pantry. You just kind of wanted it really bright and you could see what you had where you in display, you wanted a bit warmer. And there was also even a booth that had a battery operated lighting system for retrofitting of existing kitchens. So, you know, I thought that was great that, you may have past clients as a kitchen designer, you know, that maybe just wants to do an upgrade and this would be a great thing to upgrade. And then the last thing on lighting, which I also found, it's not kitchen, but it was bath, and it was Schluter introducing a water resistant or waterproof lighting system that could be integrated into the shower, specifically into the niches. And, they had a great display showing, you know, how you could even replace the light down the road, which has always kind of been a concern for me that, you know, LED lighting, you know, even though we may have 20,000, 30,000 hours, it could stop. And they had a great system for being able to pull the light out and replace it if need be. So that was kind of a big one. I don't know if the group got around, you know, too much, but did anybody else see, you know, that in their travels?
I did. I saw a lot of innovative lighting for everything from closets, inside mm-hmm. the cabinetry, any kind of storage, laundry rooms, those areas. It was really interesting how many solutions there were.
Yeah, it was great. So now the second one that I noted was fluting. It was absolutely everywhere. And, I've got a kind of a note here in my note saying maybe so much so that it may be on its way out. that it was, you always watch these trends and, you know, as trend spotters, you know, we look at a trend and you watch it filter down. It typically starts, you know, typically at the high end and it just filters its way down. But there was so much of it that I started thinking, is it on its way out? But anyway, you know, just looking at it, some of the places that I saw fluting definitely was in cabinet doors. There was a lot of interesting cabinet door examples where they would put the fluting diagonal and make patterns. They'd mix verticals and horizontals. They would mix fluting with flat panels. So, you know, maybe the drawer inserts might be fluted and the rest of it, you know, a recessed panel door, which, you know, gave interesting texture. I also saw a lot of fluting details in hoods and maybe the back of islands. And I think this was in the Kohler booth, they had a kitchen maybe it was somebody else. But anyway, there was a kitchen that had an apron, underneath the raised bar, which I'm a big fan of. I like that detail rather than just the dining bar floating out in La La Land. But they'd had a fluted detail for that apron, which you gave a nice bit of texture. In the bath, where I was seeing fluting, was definitely tubs. There was a lot of fluted tubs. There was a lot of fluted basins, you know, large, oversized fluted basins, fluted pedestals for the sinks. I saw mirror surrounds that were fluted, often, you know, done in some type of marble. And I actually saw quite a bit of fluted glass doors for showers so that, you know, it would give an opaque look. Other places, wall panels, a lot of, backsplash areas, wall panels in, display areas. And it was a big, fluting was a big overall general display backdrop. So, you know, people, booths, you know, would have their signage and they would have fluting as the texture on the back. So I don't know, Maria, what do you think? Do you think it's on its way out or...
It was definitely screaming something, and I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was screaming, uh-oh, we might be on our way out, or if it was like, this is our last hurrah, but it was everywhere.
Yeah. I think, you know, if it's used intentionally and not over the top, some fabulous vanities, like single, you know, freestanding vanities with some fluting detail. And, you know, I was here with my partner, who I drag around, the show and then some. And, his comment was, oh, my goodness, how are you going to clean that? So, you know, I think that is something also to keep in mind if you're going to be using it, you know, in your kitchen and bath designs. Think about that. How can your client maintain it? Think about very purposely of where you're going to put this detail. So the fluting then kind of goes into my third one, which is curves. And I remember when we did this first podcast after the, I think it was 2022 when we were all in Orlando. That's when I first saw it. And I think it was, you know, it was quite the reaction because in the last, you know, decade or so, everything has been so hard lined, you know, really angular islands, everything rectangular, square, hard edges. So, you know, I'm starting to see a refinement of the curves. And I was seeing it in, bathroom sinks. Like, we've been doing square, rectangular, undermount bathroom sinks now, for the last 10 years. And I started seeing the oval sink back, the undermounted oval sink, which we hadn't seen for a while. Definitely the islands were being softened instead of that sharp square curve corner that they were being radius, like a slight radius to soften it. In some cases, a larger radius, which I find is ideal for dining bars, because it makes them so much more social than lining people up. So having that curve. Also saw a lot of curved accents in the cabinetry. There was one display where they actually did the glass doors as a circle, two half circles that came together, which was kind of neat. And just looking at it, going, yeah, it's very doable. It's just a different, instead of having the arch on the top of the cabinet, they had the arch on the side, which was interesting. I didn't coin this word. It was a designer that I met years ago, British designer, Johnny Gray. But, I really see, his word for it, which is soft geometry, is really something that is going to be a big trend. I think, just softening of the lines, within our designs makes it more ergonomic, makes it easier for us to move throughout the space. So, again, I don't know if you're seeing that in your designs, yeah, Maria, but what's your thoughts with that?
I did see some of the curved cabinet details that are kind of softening the look of the kitchens. That way they don't seem so boxy, I guess you could say. Yeah. I did notice that. I noticed a lot of the hoods also had a little bit more of a curved line to them. I saw hoods where it was rounded at the top and then straight along the bottom, and different details where they were distinctly incorporating both straight lines.
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's, definitely I do see that, as a trend. And, we're seeing it in a lot of interesting details. And, I can see designers, being able to make it their own and come up with a great way to incorporate that soft geometry. So the number four that I saw, and you couldn't miss it, was color in appliances. I've never seen so many colored appliances, and not just a few that, the manufacturers, were introducing color palettes. I think it was in the Middleby booth, and they had huge walls color palettes for the Viking and the Le Cognac ranges, and then just throughout the whole show, colored appliances were everywhere. And again, I think it's a trend. We've had stainless steel for 20 years, and people, are getting bored of it. Designers are probably getting bored of it and looking for something. So, it's a bold move to put a fuchsia range in your kitchen. But when I get to my last trend, I think I'll be able to pull it all together on why we're seeing this. And it definitely can individualize the kitchen and really make a statement. This is really showing that the appliances, and I've mentioned this to a few cabinet dealers that didn't really want to hear it, but I think the appliance people are really kind of taking or trying to really move in as the innovators in kitchen design. So this is a way for them to show. So you got any colored appliances going into your projects upcoming?
I want to, but I don't have any money for them. So there you go.
yeah, exactly. So anyway, that's going to be a really cool one to watch and see if we're going to, have the consumer embracing these finishes. Yeah, I did have, I do have a client right now that we looked at colored appliances just before I left to go down to the show. Their concern was if one of the pieces ever broke down, that they couldn't get it replaced. So that's something I'm going to, have to talk to the manufacturers about and see what their thought is on that. So the fifth trend that that I saw was a change in open shelving. We have seen a ton of floating shelves over the the last several years, and not that they you couldn't find them on the show, but I was starting to see that open shelving was making a change. So instead of floating shelves, something that I saw in definitely more than a few booths was open shelf cubbies. So they would have a big wall of storage cabinets, and then they would have an open shelf area, typically framed out somehow as a cubby for display. There was a lot of, and we saw this last year too, but we're seeing a lot of the black metal frames used for open shelving with either a wood or a glass shelf in them. A little bit lighter, I think, than the chunky floating shelf, but it was something interesting. I did see one display where they had floating shelves, and they just added a little bit of detail to it by inserting some ropes that came from the ceiling down through the corners of the open shelf, making it look like it was being supported by that, but it wasn't. But I was just surprised that we didn't see every display full of floating shelves, that there seems to be a shift in that. So I think that's going to be a trend to watch. And I think it's because, as we talked about before, these trends start at the high end and they trickle down. And when you start seeing, a basic open shelf at big box, maybe your mid to upper end client might be looking for something a little bit different. Now, okay, so number six, this one was quite interesting. Starting to see sinks with built-in faucets or water systems. Now, I saw this in quite a few booths, and what it would be is you would have a large sink, which I'm starting to call the water appliance because there's so much happening with it. And within that, within that sink, around the perimeter of the sink, on the sides and at the back, there are options for different types of water systems to come out of the sink. So, it might be a place to be able to rinse your vegetables. So it's not a spray from above, but it's kind of a spray from the side. There were quite a few glass washing water systems integrated into the sinks. Now, I saw this for the first time last year at Delta. Now I was seeing it incorporated in almost all of the sink manufacturers. And then even when I was over in the I can't remember what it's called, but this kind of an innovation area of new products, there was actually a firm in there that was promoting a faucetless sink. So a really, a sink, might be sitting on your island, really clean lines, no faucet came up, but all around the perimeter of that sink were probably about four or five different water options that came out of it. So, we'll see, if it's going to catch on. My partner and I were looking at one in particular. And we're going to be renovating our kitchen this year. And, we both agreed, I think I would try it out. I think I would install one in my own kitchen because it's just giving that flexibility, being able to wash the wine glasses, being able to put, all your fruits and vegetables on a built-in, grid strainer and then, wash them. So we'll see, a new way of looking at things, and it could be something that takes on if something that I wrote about in a blog, I think last year, was the hidden kitchen. This would really allow you to really give that look because you don't have that traditional high-rise faucet in the top. So that brings me to number seven, which I feel is probably the biggest trend that I pulled from the show, and is that designers and homeowners need to be designing the spaces that bring their clients joy. And, I talked to a couple of the designers that were in the GE display the off the wall, colorful, crazy kitchens, and had great conversations with both those designers. And, you know, it really kind of came, it just made so much sense that we got to stop, designing, designing our spaces, just for the masses. And I think the COVID pandemic, where we stayed at home and, people were really looking at their spaces more, I think that we're going to get more adventurous, and that, the same way that, we would do something crazy in our bedrooms and or the living room, or, when it comes to design, why not in the kitchen? And, that could be just with some really cool hardware. I saw some great hardware applications. Painting, people are into painting their cabinets. Why couldn't you, paint the shaker frame one color and the insert another, or insert some wallpaper there, or do a back wall, with something, with a really cool wall treatment. So I think that idea of bringing joy to your spaces and doing something, in your space, or the designer encouraging the client to just go with something that's going to make them happy. And, I don't think we've ever been a time in kitchen and bath design where we haven't had more choices to do this. So your space does not have to be a cookie cutter, of everybody else's. So that's my take on the show. Again, really enjoyed it. And, I'll be doing a lot of blogging and, putting this into images so that people can see it. Those 1,000 image pictures that I've got on my phone will come in handy.
Okay. So if anybody wants to get in contact with you with all this information that you share, Jan, how do they contact you?
Probably the best way is they can pop on my website, which is Vestibule, spelled vestabule.com, or they can email me directly at jan@vestibule.com. And of course, Instagram, the Vestibule School of Design is my Instagram, and I've got a bunch of stuff going up there daily.
Awesome. Well, yeah. Like we always say, nobody covers the show like you do, because you really look at it from a keen design eye for what designers really need to look at. And we appreciate you helping us out every time to give an overview of the show. So we appreciate you a whole lot. And if any of our audience wants to get in contact with Jan, you now know how. And we hope to hear from you in 2 weeks on Designer Discussions.
Are you an interior designer facing the challenges of marketing your business? Are you struggling to find the time and looking for effective solutions?
You're not alone. Many interior designers and remodelers share these same pains, but there is a solution.
Welcome to the Designer Discussions Academy, where we understand your challenges and are here to help.
Our academy offers a monthly focus on marketing, PR, and business development, tailored for interior designers and remodelers.
Learn the most important marketing tactics, from SEO to get press, social media, and even harnessing the power of AI.
Join us at the Designer Discussions Academy and take the first step towards transforming your interior design business.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Designer Discussions and all of the helpful information. Subscribe to our podcast, leave us a review, and share it with your friends. We look forward to having you back next week. For more information on the podcast and the marketing studio, visit designerdiscussions.com and follow us on social media.